Thank you. Thank you for not just giving, but loving to give. I think that's the difference. That you desire to give and that you want to give. And, you know, I look and, you know, all I can think about is our cup runneth over. I mean, it really does. And I just can't say enough about you. We're going to finish up this short series and we're going to jump into a whole fall vision thing next week. And we talked it last week. If you wasn't here last week, please grab one of the CDs out there. I won't spend too much time on it and catch up. But just a quick review. We're talking about King Jehoshaphat and how everything was going great. And everything was going good, and he was going around talking to his people like a good king should. And then all of a sudden he gets a message from these messengers saying, "Hey, guys, King Jehoshaphat, there's three armies coming against you. Three armies coming against you. They're marching against you. They're on the way to attack you." And King Jehoshaphat was overwhelmed. He's going to be attacked on all sides. You know, this huge army was coming. It says Jehoshaphat was badly shaken by the news. And I love what he did. He said, "I'm going to pray. And I'm going to fast. I want to talk to the Lord about it." And he gave us some steps of what to do. And there were five of them. And the first one we came to is that Jehoshaphat showed us was that we turn to God for help. Not anything else. Not self-help books. Not all this stuff. He says turn to God for help. And so he prayed and he fasted. And the second thing he did was, it says, we're to focus on God and not the problem. We should not let our problems intimidate us. We should let them motivate us into prayer. And so see, there's nothing going to happen to you that's bigger than God. There's no problem whatsoever that's bigger than God. And so how do you do this? You remember how big God is. You remember how big he is. And you remember what God's done in the past. In my journal, I always write the bad times that I've gone through. So I can see also, I write how he brought us through. And so I can go back 5, 10 years and say, "Oh, we went through that. And God, you brought us through then, and you'll do it again." Amen. And so the next one is remember what God has promised. You know, I've been telling y'all there's over 7,000 promises in the Bible. Well, it's not completely a lie. I just got a book Gene just gave me. It says there's over 8,000 promises in the Bible. I can't wait to read this book. But remember what God has promised. He's promised to never leave you. He's promised to prosper you, not to harm you. Then lastly, that is appeal to his character. God don't lie. He don't lie. He don't lie, he don't go back on his word. Appeal to his character when you're talking to him. And then you admit you're powerless. I admit my inability. You know, if you could have quit on your own, you could have did it a long time ago. And you already would have. But when we're faced and the odds are overwhelming, we have to really get somewhere. We got to say, "I can't do it on my own. I can't do it on my own." So that's last week. And I hope you can get that out there. And today I want to start off by looking at God's response to these first three of the five steps. So after we do these things, after we turn to God for help, after we focus on God and not the problem, and we admit our inabilities, what's God's response? To fill in your outlines, the first one is, he says, relax. One word, relax. You know, God says, just chill out. He says to relax for two reasons. You might want to write this down. It's not your battle. It's not your battle. It's his. Verse 15 says this. This is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Anybody tired all the time? Anybody just kind of tired and wore out a whole lot? I'm going to tell you, a lot of the reason that you're tired is you're trying to fight battles that belong to God. I'm talking to folks, and that's what's happening. You don't have the energy, you don't have the knowledge, and you don't have the power. And when you do that, you're acting like you're God. When you fight a battle that belongs to God, you're saying, I'm God, I can take care of this. You're trying to make it happen, and guys, you're just getting tired. You're just getting tired. It's God's battle. You know, the problem is not your problem, but you think it's up to you to solve it. Guys, I'm guilty of that. I used to think every problem was mine to solve, because we're such fixers. We're relationship fixers. We're faults in other people's fixers, aren't we? Ooh. You can't fix your own faults, much less somebody else. You know, but you know what I found out? And I'm just talking about me here. The more insecure that I am, the more out of control my life is, and the more controlling I become. I'm not talking about y'all. Ain't none of y'all control freaks, are you? I'm just talking about me. You know? And guess what happens when you're controlling and you're insecure? You're just not a nice person to live with. You know, and I'm just not a nice person to live with. When I'm like I said, I'm not talking about y'all. You know. But what happens is a lot of times we inevitably fail. And we come crawling back to God. We come crawling back to Him saying, I'm sorry, God. I'm sorry I let you down. You know what He's told me several times? Jim, you didn't let me down. You wasn't holding me up. You wasn't holding me up. How could you let me down? It's not your battle. It's why you're tired. Like I said, the next few weeks we're going to be talking about a big vision that I have for us and for North Point. And you know, I want to set us a big vision. I want to dream big. I want to dream big because I want to dream so big that we can't do it. I want to dream so big that God has to do it. That we dream so big, we have a vision so big, we say, okie dokie, God, it's your problem. It's your problem now. Small dreams that we can do? I don't know. To me, that just shows we don't trust God. If we can accomplish them, we need to have some big dreams. Big dreams. They help us to learn to trust God. You know, some of you guys been holding on to your and trying to control your finances, relationships, and even your jobs and stuff, and they're about to collapse. They're just about to go under. And you've told me, you said, I don't know how much longer that I can do this. You know what God says? It's about time. Once you realize that you're not holding it all together and that you're not in control of your life, your birth, your talents, they're all beyond your control. The only thing that you do have control over with is your attitude. And to let loose of control. Second response that he might have is this: I'll handle it. I'll handle it. God says, I'll handle it. When we bring to him whatever we're overwhelmed by, I don't know what you're overwhelmed by, God says, I'll handle it. You know what for me that the antidote to stress is? I repeat three times, I try to every time. God is God and I'm not. God is God and I'm not. God is God and I'm not. I'm telling you, you repeat that three times and really repeat it. It's the antidote to stress. In verses 17 and 18, I want you to look at this. This is a strange battle strategy right here. You won't need to fight in this battle. You stand strong in your places. And you will see the Lord save you. Judah and Jerusalem, don't be afraid or discouraged, because the Lord is with you. So they all bowed down and worshiped God. These guys worshiped rather than worried. I told you last week, we got a choice. We can either pray or we can panic. He says three things in here. He says you don't need to fight, you don't need to move, and you don't need to worry. So when you're overwhelmed, don't fight. Don't run and don't worry. Let's look at this don't fight thing. Some of you guys have what I call the Atlas complex. Do you know what that is? You're carrying the world around your shoulders. You think you're carrying the whole burden of the world around on your back. I got something to tell you today. You can resign today as general manager of the universe. And when you do that, it ain't going to fall apart. History is his story. It's his story. The second thing he said in there was, don't move. Stand strong. Don't move. I'm going to tell you, sometimes it takes more courage to do nothing than to do something. Let me say that again. Sometimes it takes more courage to do nothing than to do something. He said, don't run. Don't resist. I mean, this guy, Jehoshaphat, was being attacked on all sides. It takes courage just to stand there and not fight. You know, and not to run. Because I'm going to tell you, when you face an overwhelming situation, you always want to do something. You either want to fight or you want to run. You always want to do something. Fight or fly. But you have this urge to do it. And God says, I don't want you to do either one of these. I don't want you to run, and I don't want you to fight. He said, I don't want you to run out of this relationship. I want you to stand strong. I want you to stand still. Even when your marriage is being attacked on all three sides, I want you to stand still. And maybe even add a little shut up in there. Amen. And let God do that miracle. Every small thing. He cares about everything. Everything. He cares about everything. Let God do that miracle in those small things, in relationships. I'm telling you, if it worries you, it worries him. If it concerns you, it concerns him. Every little thing. But I want to tell you, don't manipulate or work behind the scenes. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Don't pray about it, then start working on it. You know, stand strong. Let God be God in this. You don't have to be God. You know, what he's saying is stand strong in this attitude of confidence. You know, don't manipulate things. You can't handle a problem. It's overwhelming, so we're going to trust God. Amen? But I want to tell you something about this whole running thing. It's never God's will for you and I to run from any situation. Never, never. Stand still and face it. You know why we shouldn't run? Because it's eventually going to come around again. It's eventually going to come around again. We're going to have to face it. But he does this to teach us that he is more than sufficient in everything and anything. Next is don't worry. Worry. I've told y'all before, worry is a practical form of atheism. Ooh. But it is. When you're worried, you don't trust God. It's a practical form of atheism. He says, stand still. He said, don't freak out. You know, don't get upset. You know why? Think about it. Has God ever lost a battle? Has he ever lost a battle? No, he don't lose battles, especially if he chooses to fight. Guys, you and I, we're on the winning side. Now, sometimes it don't look like it. I understand. Sometimes it don't look like it. Things are coming, and, you know, people dying, Ebola, finances, you know, all this stuff. Sometimes it don't look like it. But if you read the end of this book, we win. We win. Evil loses. Evil loses. Good's going to try. You know, God says, ultimately, we win. You ever notice these evil dictators never last? They never last. Never last. Ultimately, you know, truth wins. You know, for 3.5 years, we met in the high school. Did y'all know that? We met in high school, and everything that the church owned was in this old trailer. We were somewhat nomadic. You know, we didn't exactly know what we were doing all the time. But then we started growing, and still our staff was in this trailer. And as we grew, you know, some folks came up against us. You know, it just the kind of the way it was. And for the first year and a half, do you know what we paid rent at the high school? We paid $1 a week. Wow. Then they prorated the utilities and stuff. But we paid $1 a week. Well, some folks got upset about that. And so they took it to the school board. We went to the school board. So they went up on our rent. It was quite a bit. It was like $400 a Sunday, wasn't it, Dave? But still, that wasn't that much, considering what we got. And so we were there for about another year and a half, and we were paying that $400 a week. And like I said, it wasn't that much, considering the building. We didn't think it was. Well, things got good. We even grew because we got publicity. We had people come and say, I want to check that out. And so we grew even more. So the $400 a week was easy. Well, those people got mad again and started kind of working behind the scenes. But that time we were building this building. And I'll never forget it. I got a call from the guy at school. He said, hey, Jim, this is so-and-so. He's over the facilities. He said, I got some bad news. I regret to tell you. They're going to go up on our rent triple. They're going to go up on our rent triple. I said, well, you know what? Thank you for telling me, but I was just about to call you. He said, why? I said, because we're moving out next week. We've got a building we're going to be moving into. He said, pray. That's what he said. That's what he said. Isn't that something? He's always right on time. See, it wasn't our battle. God was fighting that battle the whole time. We got this enormous publicity that we didn't ask for. People started coming. We were able to buy this land. And everything was paid for in a couple of years, and we've never been in debt since then. It's been an amazing thing, you know. And so we chose not to worry. We chose not to fight. And we stood still, and God worked it all out. Let me read something out of 2 Chronicles 20:20. I didn't put it in your outline. Here it is. And they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And when they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Believe his prophets, and you will succeed. How do you succeed? Believe in the Lord your God and believe. Believe in the Word of God. I was just about to say the Word of God. Now, years ago, that scared the hound out of me. But I didn't even really burp, did I? Oh, I'd had to change my britches just a few years ago. But anyway, what that verse is saying is if you really want to do this, trust God, trust His Word. His word. The prophets wrote this. Trust what the prophets wrote. Trust God. You know, he wrote it down. Trust him completely. Guys, you don't have to be perfect for God to bless you. Y'all follow what I'm saying? We weren't perfect by no means at North Point Church, but God blessed us. And just trust him. All right, number four. We're going to get to number four. When you're overwhelmed, number four, thank God in advance. This is, again, another unusual battle strategy. Amen. It's somewhat bizarre, I might add. Then the king appointed musicians and singers in robes to march in front of the army. Now, guys, we got a lot of folks in the army here that have been in the army. This is pretty bizarre. to have the choir in front of the army. I'm thinking the guys in the army said, all right, we got them in front of us. It says, and loudly praise the Lord. He told them to sing, thank God his faithful love endures forever. This is bizarre. The choir before the entry, the infantry. Now, imagine how that looked. It was 3-1 odds. And we got a choir in robes singing. I got to be thinking, everybody's saying, what is going on? From the three armies to the to Jehoshaphat's army, what's going on here? You know what this is? This is symbolic of thanking God in advance. We're going to sing thanks in advance. Here's my question for you today. When are you going to start thanking God for the miracle in your life? When are you going to start thanking God for the miracle in your life? The one that you've always wanted to happen. The one that you've been praying for. When are you going to start thanking him? Wait, I got something in my ear. Are you going to start thanking him afterwards? Because that's gratitude. If you thank him before, that's faith. It may be the highest form of faith. To thank him before it actually happens. Y'all see what I'm saying? I believe it is. God wants to answer our prayers. But I'm telling you, God's not a vending machine either. It's not just instant, you know, pop out praying. Because he blesses us in our waiting period. That's kind of the hard part. God knows what we need more than what we want. So in our waiting period, here's what I want you to do. Thank God while you're waiting. Thank God in advance while you're waiting on him. Thank God for my son coming back. Thank God for my daughter coming off meth. Thank God for my marriage to be restored. Thank God for my friends, their relationships to be together. In that waiting period, thank God for it. Thank God that I'm going to get a physical healing. Oh, man, thank God that, whoo, my marriage is going to be wonderful. Because he said so. Verse 22 says this on the back. At the moment they began to sing and praise, the Lord caused the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir. I love this part, but it's really weird. To begin fighting among themselves. And they destroyed each other. Now, that is really weird. When I read that, I said, who saw that coming? Who saw that coming? They destroyed each other. So, guys, next, at the end of the service, I want you guys to imagine something. Whatever is overwhelming. I want you to sing like you're one of those guys and that you're asking God to take care of it. And can you imagine whatever's overwhelming you, destroy itself? Destroy each other? I want you to imagine that. Whatever's overwhelming you. When we sing, I want you to do that. What are we going to sing at the end? Who? When the what? When the stars burn down? Well, I ain't never sung that before, but I don't think I have. But we can imagine, can't we? Whatever is overwhelming you, whether it's your finances, whether it's your relationships, whether it's people at work, whatever it's overwhelming you, I want you to pray and I want you to see it happening as it destroys itself. Number five, find the blessing in the bad. I think I put battle, but it should be bad. Find the blessing in the bad. You want to look at the spoils of war after the battle is done. I want you to look at the results when you let God fight the war. A couple of things happen here. I'm going to tell you. Number one, you get blessed beyond measure. You get blessed beyond measure. More than you can handle. There's going to be so much blessing that you'll have to get folks to help you tote it out. There's going to be so much blessing that you can't tote it out all in one day. Look at verse 24, 26. When the army of Judah arrived at the battleground, there were only dead bodies on the ground as far as they could see. So they went out to gather the plunder. That's the loot. They found vast amounts of equipment, clothing, and other valuables, more than they could carry back. In fact, there was so much loot, it took 3 days to collect it all. On the fourth day, everyone gathered in the valley of Baraka, which got its name that day because the people thanked the Lord there. Guys, God don't want you to live in the valley of battles. He wants you and I to live in the valley of Baraka. That's where He wants us to live. He don't want us to go through life wore out, worried, all down and out and tired and exhausted, sick and tired. You know, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. He don't want us to go through life like that. Life's tough enough. He wants us to live in the valley of Baraka. You know what that means? He wants the valley of blessing. He wants us to live in the valley of blessing. We won't even be able to carry it all in one trip. Blessed beyond measure. Shoo. I can imagine myself now. Help me. Help me, Derek. Tote this stuff back. Because I'm living in the valley of Baraka. You can stay over in the valley of battle all you want to. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm still getting loot. And you know what? Here's the beauty of this too. Then Jehoshaphat led his troops back to Jerusalem where they joyfully celebrated the great victory God had given them. I'm blessed and didn't do anything to earn it. I didn't fight. I didn't do good. God just says, I want to bless you. And he gave it to them. They didn't work for it. They didn't buy it. They didn't even fight for it. It was given by God's grace. Just like heaven. Just like heaven. The other neat thing about this is everybody around you starts to notice it. Your friend starts to notice you're blessed. Your relative starts to notice you're blessed. Your enemies start to notice he's blessed. Guys, when you let God fight your battles, it is a witness to everyone around you. It is a testimony to everyone around you. Verse 29 and 30 says, when all the other kingdoms surrounding Judah heard how God himself had fought and defeated the enemies of his people, they were gripped with fear. So Jehoshaphat enjoyed peace and security for the rest of his life. Woo, they heard about it. They heard about it. I'm telling you, I believe that there's folks that won't mess with me because I'm a child of the King. I believe there's folks that won't fool with you because you belong to Jesus Christ. Oh, guys, it says started walking peace and security. You know what? I like peace and security. Amen. It's a good place to be. Nothing better. Guys, he wants to bless you. God wants to bless you. I'm not one of these prosperity preachers. Don't get me wrong. But the truth is, the Word says he wants to bless you. And the truth says he wants people around you to see it. And when they see it, they'll know it. Amen? I like peace and security. Who hates peace and security? Ooh. Missy was the only one that hates peace and security. You know what I found out about all this thing, just it in a nutshell? God likes to bless. God likes to give his grace to flawed people. Like me and you. Like me and you. Stop controlling. Stop fighting. Start trusting. Would you pray with me? My Lord. My Lord, we come to you this morning trusting you. We're going to start a new day today. We're going to trust you. We're going to give up controlling it, and we're going to start trusting. So, my Lord, I thank you in advance. I thank you in advance for the vision that you've given me. I thank you in advance that my family will always serve you. I thank you in advance that there's marriage is going to come back together. And we'll be stronger than ever. I thank you in advance that children will be fed in West Africa. I thank you in advance that children will be fed in Kentucky. I thank you in advance that Christians will be rescued from ISIS. And we will have victory in your name. We are more than conquerors. God, I thank you that you want to bless us. Beyond measure. And that others will see. For the glory of you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.